welcome back once again to the Retrocade Podcast, episode 31. We are back here. It's the end of the summer, and we've got a good amount of things to talk about.
Just rolling through.
Rolling through the summer. I hope everybody's summer hasn't
Phil,
been...
Sean. Yeah, it's a little intro.
Yeah, let's introduce ourselves to Phil and Sean.
That's it.
I would hope our long-term listeners know who the hell...
Recognize us at this point.
Ain't that the truth. But, so this is the True Dog days of summer, really stretching out here. How was the summer for you, Sean?
It was good. Did some traveling. It was in Mexico. Little Reno, Lake Tahoe.
Reno, that's where the gamblers go to die, right?
Oh, there was definitely some gutter punks in the streets.
I love
heroin and knives.
Oh, well, you can't get much better than that, am I right?
It had a Breaking Bad-esque Vegas kind of...
Sure, well, there's very fine people there.
I remember going to 7-Eleven at midnight, 1 a.m. to buy Gatorade and Red Bull and whatever, essentials, and of course some beer. And they have gambling machines in the 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Even when you get off at the airport, there's...
Oh, yeah, I was waiting for my flight, playing some games.
Oh, shit, I lost $80 already.
Hey, should I get something to eat? Nah, a quick little gamble sesh.
That's all.
But, you see every machine was taken, some scary individuals. Reno's an interesting town.
Oh, I could
enjoyed
imagine.
It, though. I enjoyed it.
I would assume you would.
If you want the Vegas grit without the glam,
that's the way
it's your town.
That's the place to go, I would think so.
How about yourself? Do any little excursions there?
I went to Michigan. I mean, not Michigan. Minnesota and Wisconsin earlier in the summer. I think in late May for a little festival, the Northern Invasion. I was there for the extended weekend, and then I'm going to L.A. and Hawaii next week. So I'll be out for a little bit.
Oh, nice.
And then we're already telling our podcast listeners that by the time we're back, it'll be October.
I'm actually heading to Detroit and then going up north to good old Canada, so I'll be out for a little bit as well.
Oh, Canada, eh?
So you're going in the sun, I'm going in the cold grit.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too bad. I guess, what are the evenings now there? It's like 60s?
It's
fine.
5 degrees cold.
Yeah, it's not bad. No, the summers are okay.
Tremendous.
Yeah, it's the winters you got to really deal with out there. -15.
So you saw the new Spike Lee joint. Huh?
So we'll start it off with that. I saw the new Spike Lee joint. It was good. I mean, Black Klansman. It's good. It's based on a true story.
So it's got a heavy kind of title off the bat.
For sure.
And it has the KKK kind of connotation.
Yeah, Black KKK Klansman. Yeah, is the way it's stylized the title. I liked it.
Was it race heavy? Was it kind of pressing some buttons?
Well, of course. I think a lot of the stuff about race was a bit on the nose. And what I mean by that is that, like they shoehorned in the, obviously, like, it's topical and he's trying to make a point about, paralleling it with today's society and race and everything. And, there was a few on the nose things. I guess he's really spelling it out for the average moviegoer who's like, oh, I get it, he said, if you're listening, obviously, when there's in one scene, I'm not gonna spoil anything about the movie.
Yeah, I would like to see it.
Yeah,
I'm
not gonna spoil anything.
I know it was a limited release, he wasn't fully everywhere. We live in New York City, so we have that luxury, but
sure, exactly.
If you're in Idaho, I don't think you have the availability.
Yeah,
you might not be able to see it in one theater there.
Yeah, you might have to steal.
They're like, our theater, we don't want that. They open up a bowling alley.
Yeah, exactly. But, I didn't. I was thinking about seeing Ant-Man and the Wasp because I haven't seen that. I heard okay things. I saw Deadpool 2, and Deadpool 2 was
great. I saw that as well.
Yeah. Deadpool 2 was
My issue with Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I actually might have liked Deadpool 2 better than the first one.
My issue with Ant-Man and the Wasp is it doesn't really tie into the whole Thanos Infinity kind of episode.
Which is what everybody's looking for.
Which everything else encompasses in the Marvel.
From what I understand, Ant-Man and the Wasp was good, but it was more of the same. I mean, I guess you could say the same thing for Deadpool 2. It's more like, okay, you just kind of saw it already. And that's why I wasn't really, very eager to go again. Because I saw Ant-Man, I liked Ant-Man, and I'm just like,
it's a serviceable movie. It's not like, oh, Ant-Man, cool.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, or the first Ant-Man?
The first Ant-Man. And just Ant-Man in general.
No, I liked
he's
it.
He's mildly interesting, but he's a little...
I like
he's vanilla, if you will.
I felt, I felt like the villain was boring, but
there is no really cool Ant-Man villains.
No, but what's his name as Ant-Man doing all the Paul Rudd as Ant-Man with all the shtick. I mean, that was all fun.
I know the visuals are cool.
Yeah, a lot of cool visuals and stuff. So I went out satisfied, but then I never really as when it comes to movie priority, I'm like, all right, should I see Black Klansman that seems to be
did
getting
you
a
use
lot
your
of
movie talk. Pass that you should only use Tuesdays between 11 and
no, I don't
1,
have that.
1 p.m.
I don't know. I know. I should, right? I should
so
get
I've
that.
I've been reading that people are trying to cancel it, and they can't even cancel their subscription.
Sounds about
they're
right.
Like, customer service is flooded.
Yeah.
And they're just like, sorry, you're stuck.
Yeah. I can imagine
we
that.
You need
happen.
Your social security number if you want to cancel.
I only found out about that a few months ago. Somebody said was like, you know, this MoviePass thing I have, and I'm like, oh, what is that? And I was like, oh, so it's kind of like a subscription thing where you can see movies. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then apparently, but now that just as I had heard about it, they were like tightening it up, and I was like, ah, fuck that. They were saying no, you can only see certain releases, and they're starting making stipulations.
So they were losing so much money because it's such an orthodox, you know, $10 for unlimited movies.
Right, it's right off the bat cheaper than one movie.
Even like those Costco, right, like dirt cheap tickets they sell. You
yeah,
know?
Like the 2-for-1 or whatever kind of shit.
I need to go to more movies. It's just difficult that, like, you know, the weekends you're not going to go to the movie. Maybe if
that's
it's in February, I have nothing to do.
For it's pouring rain, which it has been a lot of the times. But even then, it's like, well, I got my 2 days to socialize. Let me, you know.
Like Avengers, I had to see because I had to.
Yeah, well, there's some that are like.
And I had to see it on a Monday because I missed when all my friends were going and just ran out of time.
Well, that's the thing with like the movies for me. They're better to be done on like a random weekday in the evening where it's like, all right, I'll skip the gym tonight and I'll go to the movies.
Absolutely. Yeah, like a Friday night movie to me is like, man.
Unless it's an event night where you're talking about the Avengers
and
the
Star Wars. Star Wars, we see midnight.
Yeah,
that's what
exactly,
we do.
Yeah,
not Friday. Solo, of course, but.
Yeah, Solo. What did we do? We waited a day to see Solo?
We saw it Friday opening and the theater's half empty.
It's fine. Yeah, it was.
But we don't do our traditional drinks and midnight showing of like a big, an epic, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's a little
different. Speaking of that. Yeah. The new Star Wars 9, titled to be announced.
To be a...
Lando Calrissian, Mr. Billy Dee Williams, is confirmed.
Yes, Lando. Did we talk about this last time?
We might have made a sprinkle.
Whatever, we'll talk about it. Yeah. Billy Dee is confirmed. He should have been confirmed from the get-go.
He's super likable and very enjoyable. Yeah. Great
presence.
The only
thing is that he is old, and he is, you know, he's in his 80s.
He's 80? No way.
He's old. He was in his 40s. He was like 40 when he did Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, but he just looks young.
Well, I mean, when you're the Colt 45 salesman, you're going to age a little
bit.
I've
been drinking some. He looks very good for his age, but he is old.
He has some plastic surgery, without a doubt.
I think he's
at William Shatner. He's plastic. You know?
And William Shatner's like 90. 81 years old, born in New York City.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I thought he was in his 70s, 81.
I knew that because I saw him at Star Wars Celebration in L.A., Anaheim, 2015. And
81, wow.
He's 81, yeah.
And makes it even more interesting.
Yeah, but I saw the interview. I was close up to him. He's slow. He's slow moving. Like, his responses. Like, you thought he was so slow moving in the 80s? Why don't you have some Colt 45? Now it's, well, been doing a little of...
This and that.
Yeah, it's
Colt 45.
And you kind of feel bad. It's like, oh, it's like maybe they shouldn't be putting so much pressure on him. You got 100 cameras on this 80-year-old man.
Well, if you look, that's why.
I think he'll be all right in the
Jack
movie.
Jack Nicholson doesn't act anymore because his brain's not sharp, so he retired.
Yeah, you can't even, you know. Like,
and I'm sure he did a lot of drugs in his time.
Fuck yeah. You know, so you got to really be all there for those things or else it's going to show on film, you know.
But what if you're Anakin, you're 20, you just suck? Then what's your excuse then?
I blame that on George Lucas. George Lucas should have better directed me.
He's the Rose of the old Rose. Like, he was the old version of Rose.
You know what? Yeah, but like I've kind of... And you see nowadays how much defense the prequels is now getting, now that there's like a lot of flack with the new movies. And it's because the most vocal generation now is our age, and those are the ones that grew up with the prequels. So you 10 years ago, we'll go ahead and say, that was when the Plinkett crew was like 30, and you know, the Red Letter Media, and they were the ones ragging on the prequels. Prequels suck. Now...
We're the ones to rag.
The most vocal generation is the late 20s, early 30s, and those are the ones that grew up with the prequels. Obviously, they grew up the original trilogy too, like we did, but the prequels were the ones that came out when they were kids, and they have this appreciation for it. Now, granted, obviously, and even when they came out, I mean, I don't remember in 02 and 05 them having that much flack. Everybody knew. It's like, well, they're not as good as the originals, but they're Star Wars movies. Let's go see them and enjoy them for what they are. That's how I remembered
it as a
teenager.
I thought Episode 1 was met very soundly. Everyone enjoyed it. And it filled that kind of void of not having a Star Wars movie for 25 plus years.
13, 16 years. Yeah, still. But still. Yeah,
in our time, it was our first ever Star Wars movie.
For sure. I mean, listen, I was a big Star Wars fan in the mid-90s, 94, 95. And then when they remade the figures. And then they started with the special editions. When they did the special editions, I was already a huge Star Wars fan.
That's kind of how we met almost. Yeah. Through Star Wars and being
Ghostbusters, all that.
Common interests when you were little kids.
Yeah, common interests are those things. We first, I think, started with Ghostbusters. Same thing with our friend Steve from episode one of this podcast. I became good friends with him through, like, Ghostbusters and stuff. And those things that had already kind of run its course, because in 90...
Oh, yeah. It was like finding... If you found, like, toy at Toys R Us,
it was a big thing, yeah.
And it would be in, like, their bargain bin. Yeah. And be like, oh, sweet.
Because it was already old at that point, remember?
And there was no eBay, so you had to, like, be lucky to find some toys.
Super lucky, yeah. So, like, I remember, like, I think I got the proton pack from the Real Ghostbusters in KB Toys in the mall, and it was like last one. It was had to get it.
I think I got it either at a garage sale or like a neighbor gave me
stuff like that for sure. Because remember, those were toys from the late 80s.
I certainly had a fresh box trap.
Yeah, I had a few. A lot of them I was able to get. But it was the tail end of those toys, you know, because the Real Ghostbusters ran until like 91. So this might have been in like, I was a Ghostbusters fan early on.
Yeah,
like,
so
3 to 4 years
93, 94.
I've got videos of me in Universal Studios in, I think it's 1990. So I'm 2 years old and already a Ghostbusters fan. I got the Proton Pack on as a 2 year old.
I love the cartoon. I love it.
I was like, for some reason, super young, a fan of Ghostbusters. And I got the evidence to prove it. It's like 90, 91. So I'm 2 or 3 years old. And I got the Proton Pack on. And so I was a fan of Ghostbusters super early on. So I was, but it still ran its course. Remember, Ghostbusters 2 is 89, so that's already a few years foregone. And the show,
I ate the gum a few episodes prior.
As we recently put on our YouTube page. Follow us on Retrocade Podcast, our YouTube page, where we gained some traction. I put other stuff on there. Like I just put recently the last look at the Toys R Us of Staten Island, New York.
So we were speaking about doing this. We haven't got a chance. It's going to be even later and harder to do.
Yeah, we should have did that in the middle of summer.
Is catching the end of the video. So video stores, operational. We're still going to do the trip. It's just a matter of logistics.
I think that's a good trip for the fall. It would have been good for the summer, but we could definitely do it for the fall too.
Yeah, I think October we'll have some time. We'll make a little trip. We'll do some film for the cast.
Do a little weekend in October. I've got some good equipment that we can use.
And maybe if it's in a cool location, we can make the night out of it, go to some bars. We'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. I would assume the closest ones are going to be Jersey. Are there any in Brooklyn or Manhattan that you can think about?
Well, it's definitely not Manhattan. Just the rent alone is impossible.
Yeah.
So
unless they like
when I was in Mexico City, they had some Blockbusters that but they were closed. But they are recent closures within a year or two.
Oh, okay.
So I was like looking online and all this stuff.
I know they have. I think there's one in the continental U.S. still, unless that one closed. And then there's a few in Alaska. Probably because their internet infrastructure sucks still, so there's not much Netflix, so they still have to rent physical media, DVDs and shit.
So the British guy, he's just late night on HBO. What's his name? It's a pretty crass comedian.
John Oliver?
John Oliver. He did a whole special.
I watched that one, yeah. I watched him.
He donated all these Hollywood artifacts to make the Blockbuster survive.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
And it was super cool. Like, it was a really cool concept.
What did he put was like one of the cooler ones? It was like a suit from a movie or something, like armor.
I couldn't remember which, but they were like some cool things from movies. Yeah. And
I think that's still completely franchise-owned, that Blockbuster up there. I don't think it's corporate-owned.
So there was three. I think there's one left now.
The only one? Yeah.
And I believe Hawaii might have one as well.
Which island? Let me see, because I'm going to Hawaii in a few weeks.
If it's a day trip, I would do it.
Let me see. Hawaii Blockbuster. 3 Oahu Blockbuster stores closing Wednesday. Oh, God. When is this? They're all closing already?
They'll tell you miss it by a week. That'll be bittersweet.
Very bittersweet.
If you can go there and they're like... If you could squeeze in Blockbuster, I'm sure your girlfriend will be delighted. But
I'm bringing all my like good camera equipment anyway, so it'll be perfect.
Hey, let's go on this romantic vlog. No, Blockbuster. It's only a three-hour drive.
This doesn't show a date. Let me see if I could try to see Blockbuster Oahu. And if there's one.
Hey, we going on their own volcano stroll. No.
Nah, it looks
4-hour drive, Blockbuster.
It's not that big of an island, Oahu. I could definitely pull that drive. But it looks like it's done. Yeah, nah, it looks like it closed.
Would you miss it by like 6 weeks?
Nah, it looks like 2011, it says.
Forget that. Yeah. Oh, the time machine. But
yeah.
So back to
Kahala Blockbuster to close in August. Oh, it's 2013. Yeah, no, I think they're all done. They got internet out there, man. You got Netflix. You don't need it anymore. Wherever their internet, if you have shitty internet, then for sure you could use it.
I think you could get a franchise for about $100 of a franchise fee. Yeah. And
I think I'm good.
I could open one in Madagascar.
Yeah,
armored guards.
Wherever they don't have internet, it can still be a viable business option.
I think Madagascar is a great choice.
I think it's pretty good. We'll put it on Madagascar.
Well, right by like the diamond mines.
I think this is ingenious.
It's a win-win, except getting murdered. But that's secondary.
Or getting like typhoid and
disease part of the game.
Yeah, it's all part of it. Yeah, you get the good health insurance.
So back to Klansman.
Back to Klansman. We went on a 10-minute segue here. So what was I saying? Oh, it was on the nose. Like in certain scenes, like there'd be like maybe like a speech. And like, we need blah, 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 blah. And then there'd be like cheering from the audience. And then you'd hear like a part of the audience go like, hey, we're going to make it great again. You'd hear that. Like, I felt that was a bit on the nose.
So was it like a Trump kind of?
Well, they were alluding to that. Okay. You know, because like they're like, in other words, like the KKK is having the speech, and then you hear like the background.
So this
like,
is modern times, then the movie takes
place. No, it's in the late 70s. Okay. It's not in modern times. Okay. It's a true story that happened in the 70s.
Okay,
it's a period piece.
And is it just in New York or in the South? Where does this?
It's in Chicago. No way, is it? I think it's in Chicago. Yeah. I think it's in Chicago. Let me look that up to just to be sure. I don't even fucking remember. But it's And so, like the Klansmen will have a speech, and then, like, you know, how, like, the crowd cheers and then murmurs afterwards. And, like, in the murmurs at one point, you heard, like, oh, make America great. You know, because it's like, this is what's going to make America great, like, being a, you know.
So it's kind of a prelude to current climate.
Yeah, but I felt that's very on the nose, because obviously he's alluding to that, like, you know, the connection there. And then there was one other time.
Any big actors in this as well, or
a bunch of unknowns except for Topher Grace, who played David Duke. He plays David Duke, the
everyone knows
Grand
David
Wizard.
Duke. That's pretty interesting.
But he looks like him a little bit. You know, it's funny.
David
he does a good
Duke,
job. I liked him. Yeah, I liked him in the movie.
He had a big political run in the 80s too.
He did. And also Adam Driver, Kylo Ren, is in the movie. He plays the cop. Like there's the black the black
those
Klansman.
Are like pretty strong casts, you know.
Sure,
like they're both
yeah.
likable dudes.
And the main character, the black Klansman itself, is the guy. I think his name is John David Washington. I think that's his name. Let me see. Yeah. And he plays Ron Stallworth. But like Adam Driver when he talks to them on the phone, the black guy. The black detective, who his name is Ron Stallworth, and he's pretending to be the white, the Klansman that he, and they have Adam Driver, like when the black Klansman needs to meet up with the KKK, he's like, oh, I want to join. They have like, oh shit, well, we actually need a white guy to do this. They have Adam Driver, who's another detective. He's the one who goes and says, oh, I'm the guy you were talking to on the phone. But it was really the black detective he was talking to on the phone.
Okay, so kind of maybe with a sting, trying to infiltrate.
Yes, so that's what they were doing. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And they also made a bit of fools of the KKK because the whole time they were talking to a black guy on the phone.
Is that why Trump did not endorse this?
I guess not. Yeah, and they also mentioned Make America Great Again one other time, but they say it like, it's like, you know, in this country, you know, like the Klansmen are like, in this country, you know, there's one thing that makes it great, and that's great white Americans, you know, like, and then like, so like they're alluding to that. And then, so I felt that was a bit on the nose, like, kind of unnecessary simply because like we get it, like obviously if you're going to see this movie, like, you know why you're going to see it. There's racial tension now, you know, with like a guy in the White House that says shit that's, you know, completely either riding the line or crossing the line. So like that's obvious in my opinion. And and then at the and also Nick Turturro's in it. He's in the movie, Nicholas Turturro, you know, of he's on NYPD Blue and so much other shit.
Did he have a mustache?
I think he
NYPD Blue. Like, I remember early 90s crime drama. NYPD
Blue. He was in Do the Right Thing, and I'm sure you know his face, because he's in
Do the Right Thing. I've certainly seen. Not recently.
Yeah, he's one of the brothers of the pizzeria in Do the Right Thing. You've seen him a million times, I'm sure.
He's similar to Tarantino, Spike Lee, in his kind of...
Yes.
Or he uses
sure
a lot of the same...
Nick Turturro. This one. But not the other story. There's Nick Turturro.
When you look at someone upside down, you're like, oh, yeah, cool.
There's him and then his brother, John Turturro. Man, I'm sure you've seen him before as an actor.
All right, let me see. Yeah, I've seen him.
And his brother.
He's not big, but he's been around in the background.
And then his brother is John Turturro, who I'm sure you've seen a bunch of times, and like Mr. Deeds and like.
Yeah, I've seen him.
So that's his brother.
I hate Mr. Deeds. It's so fucking bad.
Yeah, it's actually a piece of shit. I know. It's, I saw that movie in theaters.
I did too.
Yeah. You know what I think I did?
I can't rewatch any
did
that of
that
movie. Shit.
That movie, I think, came out at the same time.
Winona Ryder is always kind of hot, but.
Yes. But that movie's a piece of garbage,
it's
yeah, for sure.
Unwatchable fucking shit.
That came out in 2002, I think at the same time as Men in Black 2. I think what happened was that I was so disgusted with Men in Black 2, I was like, this is fucking garbage. I was like, what's that Adam Sandler movie? I'm leaving. And I, like, this is at the Atrium in Staten Island. And I was like, I'm leaving. I, like, left and went to go see Mr. Deeds that was, like, just starting.
So the last time I did that where I was like, this movie sucks.
Yeah, that was in 2002.
Midway.
You're also not talking right into the mic.
Midway. Sure. Yeah, so last time I left Midway, Fantastic Four, approximately about three, four years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Just complete abomination.
You actually left the middle of that movie? You didn't stick it out?
I left two-thirds to the end. Beautiful. And Straight Outta Compton was playing. So
Much better movie.
We crawled in there. We were the only one of our kind of ethnicity in the crowd. And it was packed. Like, we had to sit in the back, completely mobbed.
For sure.
You know, it was a good 2-for-1 ticket.
Oh, yeah.
But fantastic. Like, as you see, you know, if you noticed.
I rarely do it just because, like, I can't sit in a movie theater for 5 hours, but.
But if you notice how terrible that movie is, it's not surfaced on Netflix, cable.
They literally burned it.
They burned it. They got rid of it. They acted like it never existed.
It was a disaster. Well, Josh Trank. Whatever, he tried. The studio was like, oh, shit. I don't know. Because they wanted to do the dark, gritty Fantastic Four thing. And that doesn't really work, or at least they couldn't make it work.
It was a whole mess. But the thing is, Fantastic Four,
they cut it in the end, and
that movie set the whole Fantastic Four back 5 years.
For sure,
it hasn't even made a comic of Fantastic Four.
I know,
last three years. But there's a lot of preludes to Doom kind of coming back in the scene, and they said Doom is kind of like a precursor to Fantastic Four reemerging as well.
So they say, yes,
because Doom kind of went good
mm-hmm.
in the comics and. His face got, like, cured, kind of. He wasn't disfigured anymore.
Right,
and
he was good,
and he was just kind of... He has very similar abilities to Doctor Strange.
Right.
Except he has this kind of dictator power. He's power hungry.
But he kind of plays an anti-hero, right, in the original Doom comics? Or he's not a full villain. Yeah.
He's not a full villain. Like, if you read Infinity Gauntlet, the original book...
Uh-huh.
They need his help, and he helps them. But then at the end, he wants the gauntlet, and then he double-crosses everyone, and Thanos kills him.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you remember the movie, Chris Pratt fucks up the killing of Thanos.
Yes.
In the book, it's Doctor Doom.
Oh, okay.
And it's not about Gamora and bullshit. There's no... The only love story in the book is Thanos and Death, which is a kind of awesome concept.
Yeah, but you couldn't just fit all that shit into this movie. So we got to make it good for the screen.
But... Doom.
But technically, Gamora is his daughter, though.
It is his daughter. Like Chris Pratt within the comic, Star Lord in the comics,
Peter Quill
is so irrelevant, weak, and useless mm-hmm. that he is just irrelevant.
Yeah, he has nothing to do.
Whereas in the movies, Chris Pratt's very bankable.
He's almost like Iron Man 2, almost. You know, he's like almost like a second Iron Man.
Dude, what is his powers? He has a jetpack and a fucking gun.
And that's it.
He doesn't do shit.
Yeah.
He listens to like cool 70s music and says jokes.
Yeah. That's pretty much all he...
And he flirts with like Chinese aliens.
That's all you need. That's all you need from him.
Doom was that in the books. But he was more full ultimate power.
Sure.
Not, he abused my girlfriend. And then, you know, it's not that pathetic... I didn't like Chris Pratt in the movie. I think we went over that already.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, he's better in the Guardians movies. Like,
well,
doing
see,
his own thing.
The director's in some hot water, and some of the cast is like...
Yeah, James Gunn doesn't look very good for him.
But what did he do? He insulted pedophiles and said, I want to kill them or something?
No. I read all the tweets. I mean, they're so old. Like, who the fuck went... Like, the funny thing is, he's already done 2 movies. Now you're digging through... 7 years of tweets. He made like off color like pedophilia jokes,
a dead baby joke,
kind of dead baby joke, or I'll fuck a kid. So, like he, but he did like over the time, over like they compiled like 10 of his most.
But these
were
just
tweets.
Completely jokes.
Oh, of course they're jokes. They're not nothing serious.
Like,
yeah.
Dan Harmon.
It was just offensive jokes.
Dan Harmon, who you don't know who he
Rick
is.
Rick and Morty.
So he had this like YouTube video, and he's with his buddies drinking in college or whatever. And it's completely off color. It's a little racially charged.
As that guy is.
And Adult Swim said, listen, we don't condone what he did.
But they're still going forward with the next season.
Yeah, where this is, that's their cash cow.
Yeah, they're not getting, it's like, fuck no, we can't get stop our cash cow. You know, what's the worst that could happen? That there's going to be a change.org saying cancel Rick and Morty or stop. Oh, and it's like, what's worse, losing the money of another season of Rick and Morty or dealing with this fucking shit?
And secondary, like, if you look at the Rick and Morty fan base, it's Adult Swim.
Exactly.
Do people at Adult Swim give a shit that he made some off-colored YouTube joke? YouTube video when he was drinking with his college buddies 15 years ago. You know, you got to look at your market. Yeah, if you're having daytime TV, oh, I'm butthurt. Adult Swim viewers are typically 18 to 26-year-old guys. You think they give a shit that he made some off-colored YouTube video?
Mm-hmm.
And Rick and Morty, as you said, is Adult Swim's biggest revenue, without a doubt, hands down.
Right.
So they're like, oh, we don't condone what he did, but...
But
back to production.
Exactly.
Buy Rick and Morty merchandise.
Exactly. Bring money. Yeah, no, it's true because, though, and when you think about it, it's like it's good that they didn't buckle under it. And then they realized, like, as a business plan, it's like, all right, well, who's our fan base? It's not these crybabies. You know, the crybabies are not the one, like, oh, we're going to boycott you. It's like, but you don't watch Adult Swim anyway. It's a very niche audience. And that niche audience likes the crass humor. And they're not the ones that are on change.org complaining about Dan Harmon. What is that his name?
Dan Harmon.
Dan Harmon. Yeah, like, they're not the ones complaining. It's just like, you know, loudmouth social justice warriors.
Like the mothers would be like, we hate it. And then the kids are still going
to
watch
it. Exactly. It's like the mothers are not the ones, oh, we're going to boycott it. It's like, you're going to boycott it, but you don't watch it in the first place, so it doesn't matter.
And the fact that your mother tells you not to watch it makes you want to watch it that much more.
If you're a child, I mean, like, I would assume their main demographic for Rick and Morty is 18 to 30, right?
You don't think, though, like, middle school boys are watching?
Sure, like they did
in the lunchroom being like, oh, did you see Rick and Morty?
Like they did South Park, but I definitely feel that there's a more adult audience with that.
But
I think
you remember
biggest
being
audience.
10 years old
absolutely.
And raving about South Park?
Of
everyone
course.
Wearing the T-shirts?
Of course. I had a T-shirt in 1998.
They would say curse words and have risque humor,
God,
and we all thought it was like tremendous.
No, sure.
I think the new generation of kids is like, oh, Rick and Morty's a shit.
Yes.
And they don't even know that it's a parody of Back to the Future.
No, I don't even
have no clue.
10-year-old doesn't even know what Back to the Future is. You know, a 10-year-old was born in 2008, Sean. 2008.
Holy fuck.
I was in college. I was doing...
Yeah, 2008, yeah. I was
hanging out at a frat house on Van Duser.
Well, I would call that a frat house. But
that was practically our frat house. It wasn't like it wasn't a campus frat house. But
it was your version. I have fond memories of that place, for sure.
I mean, even the lady downstairs. It was an apartment me and my friends had in 2008 in North Shore, Staten Island. And we just had keg parties all the time. It was like it was a gritty, dirty neighborhood. Now it's getting gentrified. And there was a woman downstairs, but she never would pay her rent. The landlord would tell us, at least my friends were paying the rent. He would, oh, this lady don't pay the rent, blah, 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 blah. She's been there 8 months, blah, blah, blah. And so she would be like, all right, screw it. She's not a good tenant. We don't care. We'll have the parties and screw her. And one time she came up. She's like, I'm not going to live under a frat house. And she tried to come in. And my friend Mo Man.
And your friend put out a cigarette in her face?
Almost.
You dumb
bitch. She tried to come through the screen door. And he just biffed her face out of the house and closed the door on her. Like, he was a real maniac. Oh, he didn't give a fuck.
Good
and I was like, oh my God, did he really just do that? Is she going to call the cops? And I'm like, you know what? What are they going to do anyway?
It's funny. I have an account. Right,
you know,
next
you do
door,
anything.
Craft House. So
right. Oh yeah, now that they own, they now it's gentrified that neighborhood.
I
they
have
made
to pick
that
up
nice
checks
restaurant
from there.
Like it's a beer, a micro brew / restaurant.
So
the fried chicken is the best. Killsborough. Fried chicken there is great.
The corn dip, phenomenal.
The mac and cheese is good. The cornbread is great. They got some. I was there a few months ago. They had bacon shrimps. I was there in July.
Whenever I go to pick up a check, I park right in front of the old house. I take a gander, and I just think of fond memories from 10 years ago.
It's different there. In fact, it's so funny because when you're in the backyard of Craft House, that restaurant, you can completely visibly see the old apartment was set back. So you're looking right at it, and now the awning is gone of that apartment. There used to be an awning, like a patio, like a...
It was like a little ratty awning.
It was a ratty metal rusted awning, but they got rid of that, and they repainted the facade of the house.
But do you imagine, though, if that place is open while we were in our exploits, it would have elevated our drinking, and not that we could afford meals.
Oh, Craft House was open while we were boozing, though. Yeah, yeah. Well, I know. Well, the things that were opened at that point in Staten Island was a place called Martini Red. There was The Cup. There was Ruddy and Dean's.
Oh, Ruddy's solo. I was there today. It's okay.
You were at Ruddy's today? Okay.
They're still kicking.
Bay Street near the 120 precinct. And then there was also, what else? There was Real McCoy and Carl's Clippers.
Carl's Clippers went under.
And Cargo, under. Of course. But like they were all within walking distance, but like it was kind of like walking distance, like, too far, you know?
This is before the gentrification, where you go in there and it's still a scum bucket
That's
bar.
That's true. Now you go into any of them and it's very clean, very gentrified.
And there was no flagship brewery.
There was no flagship brewery.
There was no tourist, for that matter.
No, it was very low-income, gritty.
Ended up there, they're like, oh, fuck.
They're like, we
got to
get out of here. We got to go back on the ferry and get out of here.
And
yeah,
I remember
right
being
by the
in Real McCoy, being 17, 18 years old, smoking cigarettes inside the bar.
Yeah.
Being 17 years old.
I don't think it was legal, but they were like letting it go down.
The bar owner was doing illicit substances. And
nobody gave a fuck. Yeah. They had dirty, greasy couches. You know what also was open at the time? Beer goggles.
Yes,
which also had scummy couches. Well, it was right up the block. You know,
we would have parties there being 18 years old. And just
for sure.
Going crazy.
Well, that's how that place got shut down. It was letting in too many 21-year-olds. And then they had the infamous FDNY, NYPD brawl in there. And that was the end of it. They just beat the shit out of each other and they shut it down.
I work in the beer industry, and I have an old man bar saying, oh, it's not like it used to be. He goes, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And I remember my grandfather would tell me stories and all this. All these city workers would go to these bars for lunch and get fucking hammered and go back to work.
Yeah, yeah, you can't really do that.
You can't do it now.
No. I was talking to a fireman yesterday, and he was saying crazy stuff that was going on. He was like, we used to get drunk in the firehouse. Who was bringing girls in and bringing them into the bedroom? And I'm like,
cops,
Jesus Christ.
Firemen, sanitation.
Go hog wild.
Post office.
And they all walked away with $200,000 pensions.
You know. So they wouldn't eat lunch for lunch. Don't eat lunch.
Liquid lunch.
They would have 2-3 beers, go back to work.
2-3 beers, that's it?
And if it was a Friday, they would just have 12 beers and the work was over.
Yeah, work was done. Work was done. I'm clocked in, but work is done. Yeah, sure, there's a lot of that.
But if you look, the cops were less stressed out. There was less brutality. There was less violence.
I mean, this is a lot. I mean, a lot of that stuff that they're talking about is like, you know, it's a different world, pre-9/11 and shit. Now,
the old man bars are hurting because this is a big part of their revenue.
Oh, of course, yeah. No, all the
they didn't have kids go in there. They had
old, like middle 20 age
guys come in
right
during the lunch breaks.
Yes.
All spend whatever, 20, 30 bucks each.
On like a, Tuesday afternoon.
Crushing beers, have a few shots of whiskey, and go back to work.
Yeah, no, there isn't too much of that going
on. Don't get me wrong. I've certainly, when I was a city worker, my brief stint, I had beers for lunch all the time.
So I had liquid lunches all the time.
I kept the
no
Irish,
different than I am now.
The Irish McGowan city worker tradition alive in the brief window.
Yeah, you got to keep it going. Okay, moving on. Well, let me finish off Black Klansman. The last thing, I like the movie. I do say go see it. It's good. It's not like it has a massively climactic ending. It has a finale. It seems
there's some carnage, some guns, deaths, murders.
I mean, I'm not going to go into it because it could spoil it. I mean, there are guns in the movie. There is an explosion or so. It's like relatively, not really like maybe like a little bit of a twist where it's kind of unexpected. Kind of maybe like the end of Bronx Tale. Like even that. So kind of the end of it's kind of like Bronx Tale. It's kind of like it's a finale, non-finale, bittersweet ending. And then at the very end of the movie, they show like recent footage of like Charlottesville and shit, of which I felt was unnecessary, and I felt a little inflammatory.
So it was shooting to kind of raise sort of negative feelings towards.
Yeah, well, as Spike Lee does. I mean, it's social commentary, but also at the same time, it's a bit inflammatory because you've seen people in that movie leaving like pissed off, like, yeah, it's disgusting how this world has become. And, no matter what side of the spectrum,
people for no reason.
That's why I call it inflammatory, because I just felt like the movie ending said, like, let your brain do the like connecting from then and now. Like, you didn't need all the Charlottesville clips at the end, because everybody sees them every day. You know, we're on Facebook every day. Like, everybody knows this shit. Like, all the clips that they showed of Charlottesville or the guy running people over that were protesting other clips. It's like, we know that that's happened. It's happened within, you know, 6 months and a year. We know it's going on. We see it every day in our face. Like, we don't need you to show it to us again to get us even more disgusted.
What's funny is, like,
you know, our brains will put the connection together. It was funny. Unnecessary, and I felt that to be inflammatory and unnecessary.
Obviously.
But those are my complaints with the movie, just the inflammatory thing. Like, just make an art piece. The art piece has enough commentary in it for us to make us think. We don't need to show us the clips.
You don't need to force it down my throat.
Yeah, you don't need to spell it out. You don't need to force it. Like, our brains will do the thinking to connect the things. You know, like, obviously, like, it's 2018. There's some civil unrest, and you're making a movie called Black Klansman. Like, we're going to put it all together. You know, we don't need
you to do it for us. So, I find it funny, like, you conveniently show Charlottesville, right?
Yeah.
But there was no quips of Rodney King riots. Like, he left that out conveniently, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, but also the movie, I mean, the movie is not, remember, the movie is, it's showing, like, the movie's called Black Klansman, so obviously it's talking about the one side of it. It's talking about that, like, the...
That demographic.
Yeah, like, it's not...
The alt-right,
it's not,
per se.
Yeah, it's
what
not...
it's called now, anyway.
Yeah, it's not called, like, you know, L.A. Beatings, you know? It, like, that might show, you know, the other side of
imagine
it.
Imagine making a movie called L.A. Beatings, starring Alec Baldwin.
Oh, he'd be perfect. He'd be perfect for it.
Gotta calling, take care of the riffraff.
Calling his,
calling his daughter a pig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she just put a picture on Instagram the other day of her, like, you know, quite risque.
She looks good.
Yeah.
I think her name's Ireland Baldwin.
Yeah, Ireland. Yeah, yeah. If you go to
her mother is Kate Basinger.
Yeah. Yes. Is that
Kim Basinger?
Kim Basinger, not
correct.
Kim. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she looks good in the picture. You know, it's quite a bit risque.
Like,
she's like,
my daughter looks like a slut. Like.
He wrote on it, no, just no. And then you have all like these like, you know, you know, women's rights activists, like, how dare you tell her no? And it's like, well, he's her father, and he doesn't want
it's
to see.
It's completely realistic.
Yeah,
like you're my daughter. I don't want to see your tits hanging
or
out.
Or at least, like, her, like, ass and thighs on, like, a motorcycle sticking out. Like, you know, he's like, because he obviously follows her on Instagram.
What I like is he's a target and a villain in the Me Too movement. Not that he had any sexual misconduct.
No, yeah.
But he doesn't. He's very abrasive.
Very abrasive. For somebody on the left, very abrasive.
And he yells, like, there's stories of him making flight attendants cry. Like, sir, you can't use your phone. He's like,
fuck off. Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, he's got a mouth on. Like, he is, when that guy becomes a dick, he is a dick. Yeah. But also at the same time, he's liberal. So they embrace him for all his making fun of Trump on.
He's an Irish Catholic from Long Island.
Yeah.
So he's a big drinker. I seen him hungover. I seen him hungover.
You could see him in Manhattan hungover any given day.
Walking his dog, go to brunch.
He is not bashful guy. You'll see him walking in Manhattan. You know?
And these tourists are like, hey, Alec Baldwin, gonna take a picture.
Yeah, oh, forget
and
it.
He snapped on him, and they ran for the fucking hills.
He's a little bit of a bigger dude. He barks at you. He's like, oh, shit, this fucking guy means business.
He said he poos like a football fucking stud when he was in high school and shit.
Yeah.
Before he was in acting, he was like a big football.
Fucking guy's like.
He's a big guy.
He's
a
big, he's like fucking 6'1", 220, you know, he's a full-size dude.
It's funny, his typical Irish family. He has three brothers.
Failed
typical
actors, Long Island.
Fucking booze hounds.
The only difference would be if they were a bunch of, like, cops and firemen as opposed to...
I'm sure he, like, oh, fuck, I gotta pay your fucking mortgage, you piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he writes some checks.
Yeah, cut some checks to family members.
He had one brother, was it...
Billy Baldwin?
Billy Baldwin. he looked like he's retarded, goofy, fucking...
He's the black sheep of the Baldwins.
And he had, like, bangs in his hair, like, always looked like stoned and fucking moronic.
Right. Yeah, they are quite a colorful bunch for sure. They're a better bunch than the what's it called? What's the ones from Boston?
The Wahlbergs.
The Wahlbergs. Yeah.
Oh, Wahlberger! Yeah, eat my fucking burger.
Eat my ass. Fuck! I gotta.
Do you realize Mark
burger.
Wahlberg like committed hate crimes and beat up black people when he was in high school? And
yeah.
They just. I think he just paid off the media, and now he's like a
darling. I mean, I heard it. Yeah, he's like media darling. Yeah. No, he definitely did that as a kid. Or he was like definitely using the it was a racially like motivated like beating or whatever. He like beat somebody up. And
the guy was like an underwear model, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah.
This is Transformers.
He's got a lot of history behind him. A lot of
it's funny. Who in Hollywood's like, all right, we have
he's
Shia.
He's got a mouth on him too.
We have Shia LaBeouf, who lost his fucking mind. Mm-hmm. Who are we going to replace him with? I know, Mark Wahlberg. That's why Transformers to me is just mind-boggling. The
only reason they keep making them is because China keeps watching them. You know, it's I haven't seen one since the I only saw half of the second one and I was like, this is garbage, done. And
I saw the first two. I saw the first one in theaters.
The first one in theaters.
Second one, because it was like hyped.
Hyped, yes.
It's typical Jason. It's typical fucking Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, yeah.
Typical Michael Bay.
Typical Michael Bay explosion fucking theatrics.
Starbucks, Burger King in the background.
Yeah. And all that product placement.
So I recently watched on Netflix, Toys That Made Us. They had a Transformers.
Which episode? I haven't been able to get past. I watched the Star Wars one.
Star Wars, obviously, is the reason I found out
what
it was.
Naturally. Well, that's the main one.
I watched Star Trek, and I watched the Transformers.
I haven't, because every time I see it come up, I'll be at my girlfriend's place, and she's like, no, I don't want to watch that. Put on Ozark. I'm like, so I haven't been able to watch
Ozark. I can't watch or something. Like, oh, it's Michael Bluth, but he's not funny.
Right,
and he's
right,
trying
right.
to be tough, and I'm like, he's not tough.
It's a bit of, it's a mix of Breaking Bad and, what did I say? It's a mix of Breaking Bad and American Beauty, I feel like. I feel like it's kind of.
I feel like you would enjoy Toys That Made Us better.
Probably. It was okay, Ozark Season 1. They're coming out with Season 2. I'm probably going to watch that one, too. It's all right. I mean, listen, if you like what Breaking Bad did and you want to see a
I'm a tremendous Breaking Bad fan.
It's a tamer version of that, or should I say a little
different?
How
about you skip Ozark? If you like Breaking Bad, you watch Better Call Saul. How about that?
I don't know. I watched the first few episodes of
Better
Call Saul, and I was like, I shrugged my shoulders to it.
If you're Breaking Bad fan, you enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Bryan Cranston's storyline, you know? That was interesting.
Just to reiterate, finish what we were talking about, the Transformers, I think we were too young for that ship.
Well, that was in the 80s, yeah. I mean, I remember the commercials in the 90s.
Like, that and He-Man I was never into, because I feel I was past my time.
But Turtles...
I was an infant.
Turtles was, like, popping in the late 80s, so you got into that.
I'm a bigger Turtles fan than you are, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
I'm a huge Turtles fan.
I kind of skirted Turtles and was into Ghostbusters instead. And then by the time maybe I was able to look at Turtles or whatever, I was more in... I got... Power Rangers came out, and I was a Power Rangers fan.
See, I like Power Rangers minimally. I mean, first two seasons.
That's what I'm saying. But kindergarten and first grade, I was a big Power Rangers fan.
But
and after
Turtles,
that, nothing,
as you
that
said,
like
with buying toys, in the beginning it was tons. But towards the end of its shell, it's funny you said shell, like an ironic, you know, play on words there.
Very much.
When I was about 1995, so it'd be seven, Turtles at its peak.
Yes.
So buying toys.
Oh, you feel Turtles was at its peak in 97?
No, I meant it was at its death. 95, 96.
Oh, yeah.
Finding new toys.
No,
those toys are worth.
Yeah, it was in the can at that point.
Those toys are worth a shit ton of money.
You know what?
Because nobody bought them.
Yes, exactly. Well, those are the ones that are always the most.
Those are the
valuable.
Same as Star Wars toys.
Yes,
the Star Wars, the last edition of Star Wars toys, nobody bought them.
In the '80s, you mean?
In the '80s. So
yes.
Any iteration of a cult classic.
Yes.
Their last wave when they're overlooked.
Those
and
always
dead.
Yeah. When because they
are
don't get
bucks because no one buys
exactly,
them.
Exactly,
and they end up getting burned and thrown away.
Yeah, like exactly.
End up in a fucking
dumpster. That's always
what
happens. Yeah, that's what happened in 1985. Star Wars came out with like their last stride because there was a few TV shows. There was the TV show Droids, and then there was like those...
Droids figures are worth.
That's what I'm saying.
You
they're
could
worth
trade
a lot of money,
the Droid yeah. figures for maybe a mortgage in like Alabama.
Yeah, they're worth a lot of money. Exactly, and but they had out 1985. They came out with the Power of the Force line.
Lexon
like
card. It's a famous term.
What is it?
It's the most valuable Star Wars figure in existence.
What is it?
I think his name's Vlex.
But that's from the Droid Show.
So
I think we talked about this before.
And the Droid Show, somehow, they made action figures in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
That didn't make it here because of licensing or whatever.
Sure.
Or no, we're like, oh, we're done. We lost so much money on these Droid figures.
Fucking trash.
And like this like little shitty toy company in Brazil is like, we'll still make them.
Right. And
these cards are... You have one mint. I think the last one sold for, I want to say $700,000.
What? That's a crazy amount.
Speaking of auctions.
He's like a blue figure, right?
It's
or
a
something?
Blue, like, alien guy.
I know. I think we talked about it on a podcast briefly. I see it a lot on YouTube when I'm watching videos. Like
it's the Black Lotus of Star Wars figures.
Yeah. Yeah, but, and look how obscure it is. You're like, what is it? What the fuck is it? The droids? And also, because they also did the original Power of the Force line at the same time when they did the droids figures. And then... See, when we grew up in 95, when they remade them, that was also called the Power of the Force, but they considered that the Power of the Force 2 line. So it was actually what they considered
an extension. Was this before the steroid figures?
The steroid figures were Power of the Force 2.
Okay.
Those are the ones I grew up with, though.
Those orange box.
Yeah, orange backed. We call them orange car back.
We really bring them at lunch and be like, oh, you got... And I remember, like, your dad had this, like, Toys R Us by his work that, yes, like, no one went to.
Yes.
So you would always get these exclusive fucking figures.
That's right.
Like, yo, where'd you get? You got the Emperor? Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was at Whitestone. So it was, like, in Queens or whatever. There was a Toys R Us right over there. And, like, he would go in, like, you know, buy, like, a $6 figure, like, of the rare ones. I remember for when my, I lost a tooth. I had a Darth Vader under my pillow.
And you were like, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy because you couldn't find him. Like, you could find, like, Tusken Raider and shit, but you couldn't find just Vader. And I finally got it, and I actually brought it into school that same
and
day.
I was like, yo, what the fuck?
I brought it in box.
I remember seeing in the auditorium, like,
yeah.
And you ripped it out of your backpack. Yeah. Your fucking Jansport, 1995.
Yeah, 95.
And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, like, they were all the simple $5 figures, but they were so hard to come by at the time.
Plus, even Transformers is, I never got into it. I like Beast Wars was the only alliteration.
Beast Wars, more than meets the eye.
They didn't use that.
Oh, that was Transformers. See, I remember those commercials from the 90s, but that was still past their prime.
And I like the sound. But Beast Wars is the only Transformers iteration that I liked. Yeah.
I remember the commercials, but I never fucked with any of that.
It was on, like, weird, like, Sunday morning cartoons.
Sure. I totally remember the toy commercials.
And it was cool. It was an animated show, 3D,
mm-hmm.
which for the late 90s, it was cool. If you watch it now, you're like, this is horrible. Yeah. But when you're 8 years old in the 90s, you're like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Cool.
And I was never a car guy, so when they were like animal Transformers, it was a little more interesting.
Right. Because the truck.
The truck and planes.
Didn't bother you.
It's like G.I. Joe. I never gave a fuck about G.I. Joe.
No, I didn't care.
Never gave a fuck about G.I. Joe.
But I didn't care about Transformers. They were just toys that were out there. But I was Power Rangers, and that's similar. Because,
you know what's another factor?
The swords were just that same shit.
We didn't have older brothers or people to influence. We didn't like older guys' toys because we weren't around it.
But
so
I mean,
we liked
the also, true, but also at the same time, we liked Star Wars, which was dead in the water in 94.
It's weird how we both like
yeah.
And I just remember, too, like, my uncle, like, babysitting me, he throws it on, and I'm like, wow, this is really cool.
That's probably how it happened, as opposed to, like, you know, just like getting a little taste of it and then being interested in it. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, I watched it. We were like, all the aliens and stuff.
Like, Ghostbusters, I don't know how, like,
it was a cartoon show and it just resonated with you like it did with me.
It must have been.
It wasn't like my friends were all about Ghostbusters. They weren't.
No one.
I was kind of. Like,
I got
the lone
other people
wolf.
Into it.
No,
yeah.
Same as me.
Yeah.
I got like my friends in the block.
Yeah. Steve Sperling, our friend, I got him into it. I was like, oh, Ghostbusters, and I'd have a couple toys and
I. It's very funny. We both liked it separately because I didn't know you for another 5 to 7 years.
And most people didn't. Yeah.
And we liked something that was dead.
Yeah, they were dead in the water.
We'd watch a cartoon and it was just this kind of, it was wacky, but it was different. It was interesting.
Exactly, yeah. And it just so happens to be that those are like the most popular, like, best things. But I never had anybody really push Star Wars or Ghostbusters.
The rehash was so disappointing me because if it was done right.
You talk about episode 7 and 8?
I'm talking about Ghostbusters. If it was done right, and they didn't want to be like, hey, let's be culturally hip and throw women in the mix.
Dude.
We would be talking about the sequel right now.
Yeah,
like,
but
back to the Ecto Returns.
After Harold Ramis died, it was done. The only real sequel, as far as I'm concerned, was the 2009 video game that they did, and of which I haven't never really played.
Speaking of Blockbuster.
I gotta go back and get a PS3.
Speaking
and play
of Blockbuster,
that.
I think that was the last thing I ever rented from Blockbuster.
Probably, yeah.
I remember renting it at the Highland Boulevard location next to our friend Papa John's.
There you go, our good friend Papa Khan.
And
beep.
I beat it. It's like a 20-hour game, maybe. It's not a huge game.
That's still pretty good.
It's a cool story. Had the voice acting.
Better than Pokemon Snap, which I beat in 45 minutes the day it came out in 2000,
so
1999.
Speaking of Pokemon Snap, I was reading an article. Like, you gotta expect N64 Classic to be released, because Nintendo's making truckloads of money.
I don't need it, though. I have my original system with all the games on it, you know? Which,
you want to buy it to own that little thing.
Yes.
Plus, I eventually hacked my SNES, and it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. I got
the N64, you can play Shadows of the Empire to your heart's content.
Oh, for sure. I mean, listen, I turned that on the other day, because I have my N64 at my girlfriend's apartment, and I turned it on the other day, and I was like, diddle.
Shadows?
Yeah, a month ago, I played the room at Sizor's Palace. And then the other day I did the sewers of what's it called? I chose sewers, sweet level. I chose two hard levels. I was like, let me try these as opposed to like Galf baseball.
Junkyard's fucking hard too.
Junkyard's hard too when you that Ord Mantell, and then the end you have to fight IG-88.
Which one do you fight Boba Fett?
That's level after. Gal Spaceport. That's two levels after, because after...
That one was tough, too.
That's the longest level on the board in the game.
One took me some time to beat.
It's like an hour and a half, that level, because halfway through, you think you're done, you fight an AT-ST, and then you beat him, and you're halfway through. That's a great level. That's the best level in the game.
So speaking of Star Wars games, that's very late to the show, started playing Battlefront 2. Bought it for $20.
Yeah, you're about a year late.
Nah, that's 7 months.
It came out in November... You're getting late.
So, the game now, all the criticism and hatred, all the characters are included.
Oh, they are all included? I haven't turned it on.
They give you
now.
A free crate every day.
Oh, do they? Okay. Every time you turn it on, you mean?
So, every 24 hours, they give you a free crate for free credits.
Sure, nice.
And all the characters that were like, oh, you have to play for fucking 40 days to get Luke Skywalker, now they're including multiplayer.
Right.
So, like, if you have, let's say... 10 kills in a row, you have enough battle points, you can play as Luke on the map and destroy everyone. So they kind of nerfed the game to the point where it's actually fun to play.
Good.
So that's why it's worth giving it a fucking shot now.
Yeah, I should see, I was going...
If you turn it on, it's probably going to be like an hour update to
download
the content.
Download the new shit,
But, and as you said, we discussed this...
It looked beautiful. I mean, listen, I played maybe halfway through, maybe three quarters through the...
The campaign,
which was good. I haven't had a chance. You know what I've been doing? I have a little short time, like an hour and a half to play video games. I've been turning on Star Wars Galaxies, the emulator, which is like...
I was going to say, those servers got to be fucking dead.
No, they have now, like, normal guys picked it up and created servers, and it's like, it's packed. You know, you go on at like a normal time. I play in the middle of...
So you're playing on like... Black market servers.
But it's not black market because you own the game. Like, as long as it's legal because we own the game, and, you know, all you got to do is download the game that you own, and then you just play on their servers. It's called Star Wars Galaxies.
But these are privatized servers from
fans. They're private servers, fan-run servers, yeah.
So basically, some guy like us in their basement has a bunch of servers.
Yes.
And all the content's still fucking...
Everything
there.
Is
obviously
there.
Obviously, there's nothing new.
The original... No, it's the... But there's a few of them. There's like a bunch... Like, because remember, that game got screwed after they made the NGE, which was the new game enhancements. And everybody was like, done! They fucked it up. They fucked the game up with that. And everybody quit.
So, you were the only person I know that played it. And I remember watching you play it years ago.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing it recently.
But I remember you telling me, like...
I'm actually further
down to get a lightsaber is like a 60-hour fucking ordeal.
It's longer than that. It would be... You'd have to play that game for like 6 months every day.
Get a lightsaber.
Well, to become Force-sensitive, because it was a long process. I'm not even going near that. I haven't seen a Jedi yet in the new game. I'm assuming there's a few there.
So, what do you think the player... threshold is where how many people are playing this?
Well,
you gotta realize it's a niche item.
It's an
ancient game.
The servers have a max of 3,000, which I've seen max out at prime time. I don't play in prime time, like prime time being like
after work, 7 o'clock,
Friday night, 7 p.m. Yeah, like that's like the prime time where it's packed to the gills. I play at like 1 a.m. on like a Tuesday, and I'll play for like an hour, and the servers consistently have like 1,500 people on them.
So I. Remember you showing me this game. I remember people
talking
about
it. It's packed.
It.
You go in like the Mos Eisley Cantina, there's like 30 people in
there's
there.
There's a bunch of different races, and obviously there's the
there,
Imperials
there's
and
Wookie,
the Rebels.
There's Trandoshan, there's Twi'lek. I'm a Twi'lek bounty hunter, and this game is from 2003, mind you.
So is your name Phil Fortuna?
No,
it's
like Hetzai Mark Doom or some bullshit like that or some shit.
So they just gave you some
generated... They generate a name for you, you make it up. I think I made mine up. I gave like
so
a Star
So people
Wars.
Don't know, this was the equivalent, way before World of Warcraft, but...
Yeah, it was
the
before.
The equivalent of a Star Wars...
It was a Star Wars it was a Star Wars MMORPG, came out in 2003. I started playing it in summer of 2004, which I've been like reminiscing about. I was like, remember when I used to play that game. That's why I've been replaying it, cuz it's like
you were my only kind of witness to the game.
Yeah, I knew one other person that played it. I knew him from Dave Holman, and I just like kind of we talked about it once, and we were on different servers. He was on Bloodfin and I was on Chalastra. But it was a good game. I mean, the graphics at the time were amazing. They're still good now.
So when did the game officially kind of end?
2011, they officially closed the servers of that game. So it lasted 8 years.
I mean, for a game, that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, they just kept fucking it up. What happened was that they were, you know, like...
Pay to play, essentially?
Well, no. It was more like they wanted more people, so they kept changing the... They were like, well... Because it was super, super hard to become a Jedi. So... So what happened was that year one, I think. So it came out in 03. So by the time... I think it was probably Christmas of 03... Before that, the executives at Sony Entertainment or whatever, they were like, we need a Jedi by Christmas. And they were like, well, based on our current estimates, it'll probably be much longer than that. Like, no, you need to ease up. And then they eased up on it, and somebody became a Jedi by Christmas, I think, of 03. And then they're like, we need more Jedi because Jedi sell games. People want to be Jedi. And they're like, but this game, it's not during that time period. It's the time period. It's between episodes 4 and 5. So there are no Jedi, you know, it's supposed to be like, you know, it's supposed to be right after episode 4. It's supposed to be during, they call it Star Wars Galaxies and Empire Divided.
Okay.
And it's not.
So those are like expansions, essentially.
They have expansions to the game. They had a bunch. They had, you could wear one where you're in space, like, which I never got into too much. And then they had like expansions where you had the Wookiee planet and then you had Mustafar. They added those on eventually. And those were the three expansions that they did. But it's a completely sandbox MMORPG, so you do whatever the fuck you want. You know, you could become whatever you want, and, like, any kind of, you know, like, you could be a creature handler that smuggles, you could be a bounty hunter.
So the creature handler is, like, the fat, beer-bellied guy that wears a dish towel on his head. That's
what, the one that has the
rancor?
Yeah, but you don't have to be, you could be, like, a Terracotta
like,
master.
Like, I want to be that fat, disgusting janitor-looking guy.
No, but you don't have to be, that's just, like, your profession. Like, you choose your character, whatever
your
the fuck you want to look like.
Profession is fat. Space janitor?
But no, you could
pick up Rancor shit.
No, but it's awesome because you now your creature follows you and he can fucking whoop ass for you.
Yeah,
you know,
you're not a Rancor walking around the fucking.
No, it's, people did like, but it was hard to do. I've seen it. It's like sometimes you see people with a baby Rancor. It's not fully grown.
I'll kill a baby Rancor.
Well, because you have to catch it. First, so you have to catch, like, you when you tame the creatures, you have to tame them as babies. Usually, it's always hard to find a baby Rancor. But when you did it, oh, this is my chance to tame it, you know, for that particular profession.
What if someone kills this Rancor?
Well,
or can you, like, heal them like Pokemon? Like, give him revive and he wakes up?
I think they would make him faint. Yeah, it would maybe make him faint, you know, as opposed to, like, fully kill them. It depends on the situation. I think maybe, straight up PvP battling. First of all, you had to, like, agree to PvP, like, unless you were...
Well, that's anything. Because if you have a game where you're up and coming, you're leveling,
yeah,
you're
and then
new,
somebody just kills you.
And you're, like, walks by, slash, dead. You're
exactly.
Like,
what
you
the
lose
fuck?
All your shit,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
like...
Yeah.
I don't want to play this anymore.
Right. No,
delete.
Exactly. So it wasn't like that. But you did see people... I mean, not always with Rancors. So like, but that was like a rarity.
Well,
if they had a Rancor, that was
if
like...
If you talk about Star Wars Beasts,
yeah.
That's the king of the beasts.
Well, that and the Crate Dragon, which was like... I don't think you could get those.
Well,
you never
saw one alive.
In the game, they have them, though. You go to the Crate Dragon...
You just see skeletons.
You see the skeletons. You can go to the Crate Graveyard... And you could battle them, and they would fuck you up instantly. You'd have to actually go with a mob. You'd go. Remember, the game was a completely sandbox MMORPG, so there wasn't a linear story. It was whatever you wanted to do, and you got missions from mission terminals, or you got mission like random like general mission terminals, and then they had ones specified for every. Remember, and there's like I'm talking like 40 professions. You know, entertainer, doctor,
so yeah,
medic,
it's
smuggler,
it's the
Jedi, but Jedi
the
was like a secret
World
one.
Of Warcraft. Everyone knows World of Warcraft.
Yes, but
the
World of Warcraft
strong.
Was very much linear. Like there's just 9 professions, and this it. This was sandbox MMORPG where there was like 9 people to choose
from.
Yeah,
I realize World of Warcraft changed that. Genre and the game's still going strong.
Well, that's what happened. But what happened was that World of Warcraft became more popular than Galaxies because what happens? Galaxies changed up their combat and they were like, all right, we're gonna do because they were like, oh, people aren't liking the combat. They did the CE the combat enhancements I think it was called or something like that. And then people got pissed off and like, screw this, the game's changed. I'm going to World of Warcraft. Like, oh, fuck, everybody's going to World of Warcraft.
Blizzard also did a more polished,
yeah,
funner. Because I seen you play Star Wars, and Warcraft was more polished to me, without a doubt.
I think maybe the gameplay was more polished. Like the look of it was great. Star Wars Galaxies look awesome. In 2003 and 2004, oh my god, they fucking blew video games out the water. Nowadays, it doesn't look bad now. It doesn't look nearly as good as, say, Battlefront 2 does when you go through Naboo, but it's much more expansive. You know, it's legit. Each planet, there's like 12 planets, and each planet has like 10 square miles of land walking, like land space to traverse. That's huge. So you go to Naboo and you go to Theed, and there's like, you know, 8 other cities. You go to like, what's her name? Padme's Retreat and all these like points of interest. Obviously you go to Obi-Wan's, the Darklighter Estate.
You know,
Obi-Wan's,
I heard that was
the game was sick.
Really
completely
cool
sandbox
within World of Warcraft. So Robin Williams was a...
Oh, he was an avid player. So he's got a statue for himself.
Huge World of Warcraft player. Right. Played it till he died.
Okay.
When he wanted to relax and get away from all his troubles, he turned his phone off and played World of Warcraft. So they built an in-game like shrine to him. Right. So they used his avatar, the character he used to play.
Mm-hmm.
They built a statue of his avatar with a name, and it was like, rest in peace.
Right.
And that's pretty fucking cool. That's like the only, if I know, digital memoriam of...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've never...
You can like lay flowers at it and stuff.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah. In fact, let me look that up. We're on that. World of Warcraft. Robin Williams. Yeah, memorial. Yeah, it's like a statue of him, right?
The statue of his
character.
Of his avatar.
His
avatar. He used.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Man.
Yeah, it's such a cool like little niche thing to kind of pay respect, you know?
Yeah. Robin Williams, Genie, NPC, now in-game in World of Warcraft.
Oh, his name was Genie. What was his character name?
I don't know exactly what the fuck the character's name was, but here's his character. It looks like a genie. It looks like the genie from, what's it called?
Aladdin?
Aladdin, yeah. Yeah, it's purple and like genie-ish. It's a
yeah,
cool
let me
looking.
See a...
It's a cool-looking character.
Photo, I can maybe tell you. See okay, it. So that looks like a... That's a troll.
Okay.
And appears to be a shaman, could be a warlock.
Okay. You played...
World of Warcraft a few times. Right.
That was the shit, obviously, like...
So I had a character like that, a troll shaman.
Star Wars, I'm sure as far as MMORPGs go... World of Warcraft probably was better.
You picked
but Star Wars was Star Wars, you know.
There's the Horde, which are like the villains.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the good guy's name. So I was a goblin mage.
You're a goblin mage in real life.
That's some magic, my friend. Some magic. I was an undead warrior, but the warriors were kind of more boring. The magic was way more fun to kind of utilize.
Right.
But to go back onto a finish a little tangent here. Within the Marvel Universe... People were a little up in arms because they were excited about Venom.
Right.
And Venom got bumped down to a PG-13.
Yeah, it should be R at this point. Just make it R. Do it like Deadpool did, you know? Deadpool worked
out.
Look
at Tom Hardy, like Mad Max. He's like a tough motherfucker. Yeah. You want him to be savage.
Subversive, you know,
like he doesn't,
frightening.
And think about it. A rated R to
should
Venom,
be a horror. It should
be
a horror-ish movie.
And blood and carnage, which is a pretty little movie. We see something of carnage.
Yeah.
But yeah, you want Venom to be a brutal, fucking action-filled bloodbath.
Absolutely.
But the Disneyfication of things, which everyone points, oh, Disney, no, Disney's the enemy. You gotta point your fingers at Disney, and they ruin shit.
Yeah, but, you know what? Listen, they had Miramax, they've done our movies before. You know, all of Kevin Smith movies were Miramax, they're owned by Disney. That's why they created those labels.
They're not selling Kevin Smith Fat Boy toys. Okay.
Yeah.
They
want
to sell Venom action figures to
9-year
olds.
No, that's why they, you know, you got to sometimes take
and a 9-year old's not seeing a rated R movie with their parents.
Listen, like George Lucas said it recently, Hollywood does not want to take chances. They want to take calculated risks that are very. They don't even want to take risks. They just want to, they just want to do what their marketing team says and based on market research, and there's. So that's essentially the Hollywood of today, you know, no risks, and that's why you get, you know, reboot after reboot and part two after part two.
Censored is my issue, I think, for the most part.
Sure.
So we're going to start a little new segment here. I do a little quick Star Wars bio. Every episode we'll do a different character.
Beautiful.
And these are the more obscure characters in the universe. I'm not going to do a Luke Skywalker for you.
No,
I'm
going to
do someone
that
is in the background. So I'm like, who is that? That's what we're kind of discussing. Okay. So we're going to start with a great who is that? Zuckuss. and
Kukis.
Who knows Zuckus is, his first appearance, obviously. Which one of my favorite brief scenes in Star Wars history was Empire Strikes Back.
As Sean has mentioned numerous times.
The bounty hunters on that Star Destroyer, Vader saying, capture Solo.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice, there's a big kind of who's who of, what are these weird freaks, you know?
Yeah, it's like a hodgepodge of the galaxies. Yeah.
Like, sinister-looking motherfuckers.
Yeah, and they're all unique in their own way, and it's like, you know, as a, it's very opposed to what you're used to with the Empire, which everybody's uniform.
Polished, exactly.
Polished, shiny uniform. And then you got, like, these six, like, sleazeballs.
And they're all, like, super armed.
Yeah.
And they're all, like,
mad arms, or, like, premium fucking weapons.
None of them have any
armor.
Lines. No lines at all.
No lines, except for Boba Fett, and
he says,
to a lesser extent, Bosk. Yes, DJ. Because you see Admiral Piet, bounty hunters, we don't need their scum. Yes, sir. And then, like, some yes man is just like, yeah, whatever
yeah,
you say.
Scum.
Yeah,
he gets
scum.
Murdered off the screen.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So Zuckus, it was the insect-looking one.
Yeah. There are two insect-looking ones, though.
The
but one of them,
Forlom.
Forlom, who's a
companion.
Droid.
He's a droid.
Oh, they're friends?
They're boys.
They do have similar faces.
They're boys. So Zuckus was he was an insect.
Yeah.
And
sounds
essentially
about
his
right.
Backstory was they were from Gand, which was this kind of Venus-like gas planet.
Oh,
where,
yeah, because he's wearing a gas mask
so
in the thing.
He's wearing a respirator.
Yeah, respirator.
They basically breathe in, like, noxious gas.
And
that's their oxygen.
Yeah, not
so our
air.
Oxygen's like, oh, poison
yeah,
to them.
Poison
so wearing
air.
This respirator.
Sure.
And apparently the Gand have force abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not sure they were Jedi because, like, the planet was inhospitable to
humans.
So there's very little has been on that planet. Very little have left that planet.
Right.
But, they said he had some force sensitivity. And essentially, of that whole bunch, him and Forlom, which was his kind of dude, they were kind of a partnership.
They do look similar.
They were the only ones that eventually had ties to the Rebellion and were on good terms with the Rebellion, helped them out.
Oh, wow.
And as usual, what's funny with that whole trio, which is interesting, is how they all wanted to get Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them had some kind of beef with Solo.
Yeah, I know. Everybody didn't like Solo from there. Like Boba Fett,
Dengar,
IG-88.
Just figured him.
I think IG-88 met up with him before, because Han Solo says in Echo Base in Hoth, she's like, Han, I thought you decided to stay. And he's like, yeah, well, the bounty hunter on Ord Mandel that we met up with changed my mind. And I'm pretty sure it's IG-88 because IG-88, where do you play him in Shadows of the Empire? Ord Mandel, the trash planet.
That's it.
Yeah. So he met up with IG-8 beforehand, and then that was what changed his mind. He's like, well, a bounty hunter that fucking showed up made me think twice.
Dengar was from Corellia.
Okay, well, that's where Han Solo was born.
And that's if people saw Solo, the beginning was on Corellia.
Yeah, well, that was like a factoid before that movie anyway, because, you know, Han Solo says in the first movie, he's like, I'm not talking about the local bulk cruisers, I'm talking about the big Corellium ships now. And he's from Corellia.
And it's known as a ship-making planet.
Yes.
Industrial, looks like Bayonne, New Jersey.
Yeah, well, that's funny, because Corellia is one of the planets in Star Wars Galaxies, and it's not really like that. There's like cities like that look like in Coruscant, and then there's a lot of like greenery outside.
Well, Coruscant is just a city planet.
Right, but the cities within that planet in Star Wars Galaxies look like Coruscant, like in the prequels, like the same kind of building shapes and all that stuff, like big, and when you're in the cities, there's like, I think Coronet is the main city in that
in
Corellia in Star Wars Galaxies, and when you land into that city from, you know, wherever else you're coming from.
I think Solo did a good rendition of Corellia.
Yeah. It just wasn't
like a gritty industrial.
Gritty, it did look
town.
Like a gritty industrial ship making planet. So, to me, it was a little different than what I was used to, just because of Star Wars Galaxies. But obviously, Star Wars Galaxies is no longer fully canon.
Disney Solo film is for Corellia.
Yeah,
looks like in within canon.
Yeah,
and Dengar was a hotshot in Corellia. Bike riders, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever they're called, swoons?
Swoop bikes?
Swoops.
Yeah. They had those in Galaxy 2.
And he was like a hotshot, and Solo was like a hotshot, so they like raced each other, and Solo like fucked up his bike to cheat.
Ooh.
And then he got massively disfigured and burned.
Oh, is that why he's got all the bandages?
And then when he got burned, he became like half cyborg to survive.
Yeah. Had to, like Vader style, yeah.
And then, because the cyborg fucked up with his emotions, so became kind of like a ruthless killer because it fucked up his
he's all
mental
fucking,
psyche.
His hormones are all thrown
so
out of
basically,
whack.
Han Solo ruined his life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, you go through the list, Bostic, they all, Bostic, it was to hunt Wookiees.
Oh.
And that's what the Trandoshans did.
Yeah, they're not, they're, those are like, Bosk and Chewbacca are like, Snake and Mongoose, kind of. They're, yeah. Yeah, they're like enemies.
And it's funny, one's a reptile, one's a hairy fuck.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So, it's great, is it, that the whole story is just a Han Solo hatred club.
Yeah, it's just everybody's got a beef with Solo. Everybody hates him in the galaxy.
Luke Skywalker, who's that? I want Solo's death.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Zuckuss gained Force abilities.
Oh, did he now?
So he had a pretty successful career as a
bounty
hunter.
Was this in one of the books?
It's in a few of the books. So his timeline, which is my favorite timeline, is the Galactic Civil War. When people don't know what the Galactic Civil War timeline is, A New Hope to essentially Return of the Jedi. It's called the Galactic Civil War. But a very interesting and very awesome timeline is also Revenge of the Sith to A New Hope. Well, there's a lot of new fucking material coming out.
There's a lot of stuff.
That's where the Thrawn book is, the Tarkin book I'm reading now. And that whole timeline focuses on that the Empire's in its glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's at its massive strength, and it's all these kind of precursors to the Death Star.
Right.
So there's a lot of rumors, and it was a very discreet project. Mm. It's like if Donald Trump was to build a, you know, an America machine, it would be under wraps, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It would be like a glorious wall, but it would be a secretive glorious wall.
We gotta build the wall.
So basically, yeah, he was this kind of weird alien dude. He was a successful bounty hunter. You never know where a successful is. Boba Fett clearly is the ace of...
Yes, I think it goes Boba Fett...
Then Bosk, sure.
Then IG-88.
The IG-88, if people don't know, there's four IG-88s. In the lore, there's four of them.
What? Look, even more deep into the lore, look at the drink dispensers in the cantina for episode 4 in A New Hope. They're IG-88 heads.
That's mind-boggling.
I'll show you a picture right now.
See, this is a new fucking fact I never even knew.
You never knew that? That's so funny. Yeah, I guess it was just like a prop that they had.
They recycle tons of props.
They recycle props all the time, which makes it great. It just adds to the lore, you know? But, take a peep at them.
Let's take a look here. I'm actually very interested in this.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it has the three little eyeballs, four.
Yeah. Yeah, the drink dispensers are all...
They add a little stout to him, almost like a nose.
Yeah. Well, I think he's got a little nose, though. He's got a little thing prodding out of his face. Look. See? Right there, he's got a little prod. You got a little nose there. See that nose?
It looks almost kind of like
an
alien...
A bolt, you know, whatever.
Beer dispenser.
Yeah.
My blue milk.
Yeah. So those were in the original Star Wars movie as like the drink dispensers in the cantina bar.
So,
and I guess they reused it as his head.
If you want to talk about sinister droids, there's him.
But actually, he looks scary with that kind of head because the eyes are red. It's like a bunch of like red
eyes. Terminate.
Yeah, he looks like fucking, and he's got fucking two guns, and he's got like a bandolier.
He's a formidable foe. And you realize he's a droid. So yeah. They're mechanical motherfuckers.
It'd be like the T-1000 like following you, you know? So it is definitely spooky. Yeah, they should have had more of him on screen. But
yeah, that's what makes Star Wars what it was.
Absolutely.
And like, they still continue a little bit. Like, The Last Jedi, there was some cool people in the back. There's a lot of, you know, I always look at the background. That's what I always focus on in Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's these random little aliens. Yeah, I'm like, are they going to make a toy of that?
Yeah, the little tidbits are the best part. Yeah, the little details of like, I mean, that was why like the cantina is so beloved, because it's like just a hodgepodge of interesting little things, you know? It's like,
werewolves, devils.
Dr.
Azarian, he doesn't like you.
Look at all the weird creatures, you know, like that are in there. Like they've made figures of, you know, just like even ones that are like on screen for like fraction of a second, like blurred in the corner, they've like made figures of at this point.
They've written books about those figures. Or at least mentions or create a backstory.
Yes.
And what's funny is if you do enough research, we're fucking nerds here doing Star Wars research. You can see there's almost Jedis of every version of these fucking aliens.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, there was a famous Jedi, this and that. But there's bigger races than others. And within Star Wars, how it works, there's the core worlds, which is Coruscant and everything around Coruscant.
Right.
Then there's like the outer, there's mid-world and then there's outer rim.
Mm-hmm.
So within like Star Wars lore, the closer you are to Coruscant, the more kind of class you have or respectability.
Yeah, because you're not an outer rim scum bucket.
But outer rim territories, Thrawn, Tarkin, a lot of these giant Imperials came from there because they didn't have the politics to bog them down.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they just did that and they ran the business out in the... Fear will keep the local systems in line. Fear of this battle station.
I think Star Wars 9 is going to be a hell of a movie because I think the backlash from The Last Jedi, they're playing too close to the belt.
Mm.
They're like, our jobs are on the line. This franchise is on the line. They're gonna turn it around. Well, that's what one optimistic person can hope.
I know. I don't know. Hey, listen, if they foul it up with episode 9, whatever. J.J. Abrams got a lot of, you know, cleaning up to do, so to speak. Because, I mean, like, listen, in the end, if it's all fouled up, I mean, obviously people are pretty, you know, divided on it. You know, you got some people that like it.
Who fucking likes it?
I don't know.
The Feminist Club of San Francisco, who the fuck likes it?
Most people complain about it, I guess. I know, I left it being like, being very happy that it didn't, you know, follow Empire Strikes Back.
I wasn't angry till later.
I gotta rewatch it again, though, you know, it's on Netflix now. I gotta take another gander at it.
I think I mentioned this earlier, I like Solo better than The Last Jedi. Without a doubt.
Well, Solo, there was nothing, like, on the line, you know, like, not to say that there was nothing on the line. They could have fucked up his backstory, and we could have left really pissed. But, I mean, there's more riding on the main movies, you know? And so, like, if they don't do it good... Like, in the end, the main thing that they fucked up with was that they should have had a whole cohesive 7, 8, and 9 and just had different directors directing them. Not, like, directors hodgepodging this in 7 and hodgepodging that in 8. And, you know, like, it doesn't feel like a whole cohesive narrative. It just feels like... Shock value. Snoke is dead.
These added characters that have no value whatsoever.
We need
There's
Rose.
Distractions in the story that have... If you don't have a story distraction, cool. Have Luke on Dagobah have something that builds up to a point. Don't have, we're at a casino and running around with these horses and, look, I'm a Chinese janitor and now I'm like a rebellion icon. Garbage. But on that note,
anything else, Sean?
Just listen. I am a traditionalist when it comes to Star Wars comics. You name it. I want substance. I want value, and I want to take pride in the history that which was and what will be. Not shoe in bullshit to keep in pace with marketability and today's societal fucking nonsense.
But we've got to go with demographics. Yeah, I mean, listen. It's really not about... Like, listen. The problem is that you got to fit the characters in there naturally. And, yeah, like, obviously, if you ask any given person, they say, what was the most unnecessary part of that movie? They're going to tell you the middle part of that movie where they go to the casino planet for a half an hour. You know, it didn't mean anything to the ending story, and no one cared about it. And, like, you could have cut that whole shit out because it wasn't necessary. And the movie's over 2.5 hours. It's like, well, cut that part out. It's very simple. But then you have nothing to give, Finn and Rose to do, I guess. You should have had them do something a little more simpler. And then you got the guy DJ who meant nothing, you know. So, whatever. At this point, we'll see where they go at episode 9. And hopefully, you know, they conclude our beloved characters in a relatively satisfying way. So, we'll see. On that sad note, should we go over... You watch the new Matt Groening TV show, right? What's it called, Disenchanted?
Yes, I saw the first episode.
Yeah, tell me, you didn't like it too much?
I thought it was marginal.
Okay, I'll check it out.
It had potential if it's done correctly.
Yeah, maybe better writing.
Whatever. I like that lore of kind of... Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings-esque.
Yes.
It was different. Gnomes, trolls. There wasn't trolls. There was gnomes. There was like some giants or ogres, whatever.
Yes.
The main character, one of the main characters, an elf.
Mm.
There's this like little cartoonish devil guy.
Yeah, it's essentially Futurama, but in kind of Game of Thrones, or should I say like a Middle Earth territory.
If you want to look at the characters,
fantasy territory.
The devil guy is Bender.
Oh, same voice, you mean?
No, just attitude, antics.
Okay. Character-wise, okay.
The devil guy's
but
Bender.
But he doesn't use the same voice character?
Nah, different voice.
That would be too on the nose.
But same exact character.
Bender Bending Rodriguez.
Just like, just mischievous asshole.
Mm-hmm.
The elf is kind of like Fry. He's like, I guess, innocent, yeah. Moron.
I don't know anything.
And then Leela, the Cyclops, is just like the main character. It's kind of a strong woman lead.
So are you saying this is just Futurama fantasy time?
100% Futurama, just set with different characters in like medieval fantasy lore.
Mm.
But if you look at the characters' relationships, it's Fry, Bender, and Leela rehashed 100%. Watch it. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm going to take a gander. I also watched Sacha Baron Cohen's new show.
Tremendous. Loved every second.
Was it called This Is America? I
believe so.
Keep forgetting that name.
I always seen the first two or three episodes.
Yeah, so did I. I mean,
I
it's
don't have
funny.
Show times. I got to watch it like...
Yeah, I well, you know what?
Outside ways.
Yeah, I watched it on the internet when I got a chance. And, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how much... it was good, you know, because it's that standard... Sacha Baron Cohen, awkward, put people in weird spots, like, you know, to
genius.
Make them uncomfortable.
I have very confrontational, dark humor.
Yeah.
The
best one
it.
Was the mosque in Arizona, I think. Either that one or the other one when he was talking about the...
I don't even
want
to make the quotes because they're so fucking bad.
Don't do them on this show. No.
But it's... I recommend what...
Let Sacha Baron Cohen...
So you know
that.
The season finale, Sarah Palin? He got her good.
Did
that's
really?
From...
That's
the word on the street.
Oh, man.
If you ever seen Nathan For You, which is another phenomenal show, he's actually a writer because Sacha Baron Cohen reached out to him.
Oh, okay.
Watch it. He's another guy that...
What's the name of that show?
Nathan For You. It's Comedy Central.
Okay.
Did 4 seasons.
Nathan For You?
Yeah. So okay. It's a very dry Canadian guy.
Okay.
He's around our age, a little older. Maybe he's 35, 40. Mm-hmm. Let's say late 30s.
Okay.
So he just gets people to humiliate themselves and just... brutalizes people.
Beautiful.
And it's super dry. And it's very Ali G-esque in the humor. It's very in your face, but he puts himself in these situations.
And he's a writer on the This Is America.
So Sacha Baron Cohen reached out to him and was like,
"You gotta come on my shit. Yeah.
You're the only people that can replicate what I do.
Right.
Come on board.
Join me.
I want your insight."
Right.
And you gotta watch, and that's why I like it so much, because it's very Ali G-esque what Nathan For You does. So, 2 recommendations: do watch new Sacha Baron Cohen. It's confrontational, controversial, fucking funny, and it's if you're a fan of his, it's right on par.
Beautiful.
The characters aren't as marketable as his original 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he also had to kind of adjust to modern times.
Well, he had to adjust because people know who the fuck the guy is now. So he's got to wear all these prosthetics and stuff on his face.
We gotta realize the Ali G show aired 2003, 2004.
I know, it's so old now. I was in high school. Yeah. So it was 15 years longer.
14 years ago. So there was a different social climate then.
For sure.
So he had to adjust to be more relevant in this kind of day and age.
Yeah.
So characters aren't as flashy as they were.
Yeah.
But he still has... same fucking genius.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt, go watch it. That's if I have to say anything to watch on TV right now.
Yes. That,
it's fucking brilliant.
That'll also be
it
mine.
Might offend you. It's not for everyone, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's meant to be offensive.
You watch with your girlfriend. She's like, what is this?
The Arizona Mosque one is funny. Like I said, let's not even go into what he does because even saying
just watch it. It's very taboo.
We're going to fortify the mosque.
We don't want any bleeps on this episode.
Yeah,
so
no.
We'll
no.
Leave
we
did
no bleeps about the Papa Khan episode. Regurgitating what
so
Mr.
We'll
Khan
call
said.
Call it night. It's kind of our summer recap here.
Summer recap. All right, we did 83 minutes. That was longer than I thought we were going to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
we'll be back in, what, 2-3 weeks, something like that?
Enjoy your Hawaii trip.
Thank
I'll
you.
Be up north. And,
beautiful. We'll be back soon with
when
more
we're
content.
Back in town, we'll do a nice recording.
It's going to be fantastic. Okay, I guess this is the final. So by the time we back, it'll be... you know, legitimately, like, I guess, fall. So, everyone, it's been good. I hope your summer's been fantastic. Enjoy going back to school. And if Who the hell's doing that? And that's it. Enjoy everything. Enjoy the rest of the day, a few days of August, and keep watching the stuff.